Big Seance Podcast, episode 39.
Hey, Patrick. This is John Lilies from Carbon Lilies. You mentioned in your latest episode that you haven't had much vocal feedback lately, so I'm stepping far outside of my box to verbally tell you that Lana and I are massive fans of yours, and we are truly happy that you are doing what you are doing. You create a deep comfort within your podcast that not everyone can achieve, and you do it very well. We sincerely appreciate all the support you've provided us with our blog, and I hope you know you can count on us as fans for life. Thanks for being awesome, Patrick. You rock.
Welcome to the Big Seance Podcast. I'm Patrick Keller of BigSeance.com, and this is a place for an open discussion on all things paranormal, but specifically topics like ghosts and hauntings, paranormal research, spirit communication, psychics and mediums, and life after death. So basically, anything that pops up in my paranormal world. The candles are already lit, so you might as well come on in and join the seance. Oh, paranerds, come on in and quickly grab a seat. We have a lengthy agenda today, so grab some tea or coffee or whatever you'd like to accompany the episode today. If you can imagine it, it'll be right here with us in the parlor, right over there next to those candles. Last week, I received an email from a loyal listener. She made a request for information, and I'd love if someone, particularly folks in the know in Canada, could help us. She asked if I knew of any serious development circles or similar groups, or perhaps someone who mentors those interested in developing their abilities. And she's located in Montreal, Quebec. So if you're aware of groups, or if you have contact information for her, please contact me, and I'd love to forward that information to her. Help us out, Canadian paranerds. My email is patrick@bigseance.com. Get in touch with me if you have information. Thank you. So how about that really nice audio feedback from John that opened up the show? Lana and John write the Carbon Lilies blog, which I'll link in the show notes. And their very kind words come at a perfect time. Tonight I'm going to share the audio from my very first live video interview with Karen A. Dahlman. This actually happened a few weeks ago, and I know some of you were there to watch or interact. Lana and John happened to be there. They submitted a question, which you'll actually hear us cover later. In listening to Karen's response, John had an eye-opening experience, or what was later described as an epiphany. Of course, it wasn't until John wrote a blog post about this epiphany a few days later that we learned about this. So I think it's great. And if you're a fan of the Ouija board, or even if you're not, I think you should definitely check it out. And I want to thank Karen for encouraging me and supporting me through this live episode. At one point, just so you know, I mess up the name of her book, which we discuss in the interview. It's called The Spirit of Alchemy, Secret Teachings of the Sacred Reunion. You can find the video version of the episode, if you missed it, in the show notes, if you'd like to catch it there instead. You should know that the audio quality is not what you're used to in a normal episode due to the live video and the compression the audio goes through in these videos, but I still think it sounds pretty good. September 30th is International Podcast Day, which I think you should know, and so we'll kick the interview off in its entirety right after this promo.
International Podcast Day is September 30th, and you can help spread the word. International Podcast Day is dedicated to promoting podcasting worldwide. You may be asking, what can I do to get involved? It's pretty simple. First, head over to internationalpodcastday.com and check the suggestions. Second, use hashtag Podcast Day to join in the conversation. Remember September 30th. Now, let's start the conversation.
Thanks for joining us for the Big Seance Podcast. We'd better get back to the table while there's still some candlelight left.
It's says I'm live. And okay, so live button just popped on. I'm not sure if we have any viewers yet on Google Plus.
It's not live on my side too.
Cool. So well, welcome everyone. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Patrick.
I'm so excited about this. We should be live, but in my experience with watching some of these, you know, live videos, it's wise to give everyone a couple of moments to click play. Sometimes people end up having to refresh their screen, so I'll probably welcome everyone again here in just a bit. Hopefully, we have some viewers watching us from Google Plus. And if you are, please make use of the Q&A on the side of the screen. I'm assuming it's on the right side of your screen. And you can ask some great questions live, and we'll try to do our best to pay attention and get to those at some point. And I gave Karen permission to just take it away. And if she sees a question she wants to ask, she can jump right on in. And I know we've also probably got some viewers watching live right now on YouTube and at bigseance.com.
Great.
So, and some of you are probably listening to this from the future as a podcast. So how meta is that? How esoteric is that? I don't know if it's esoteric. I just, you know, you and I like that word.
I love that word.
My esoteric queen.
Yeah, that's me.
So that's kind of cool. This is the first ever live video edition of the Big Seance podcast. So I've been very excited about it. And Karen has been pumping me up and getting me excited about it and kind of encouraging me to do this. So let's officially welcome and introduce you to one of our favorite guests, Karen A. Dahlman. Woohoo!
Thank you.
We've talked to Karen several times before on the show. She was one of my first guests about a year ago. I was starstruck, I remember, when I was interviewing her. And, you know, since then I would consider Karen a great friend. Yeah. And we talk a lot about the Ouija because she's a Ouija expert as far as I'm concerned. We've had a lot of fun with Halloween episodes and spooky traditions. Wasn't that fun?
That was a blast.
And she has three books out, including her most recent book. I almost misplaced it. Her most recent book, Secret Teachings of the Sacred Reunion. And that's what we're going to focus on tonight. But the good news is that the Ouija played a very special role in the making of this book. So we'll talk some behind the scenes stuff as well. Do you want to introduce us to the book, Karen, and fill us in on the role the Ouija played in this book? Yeah.
You know, that's a great place to start because, as many of you know, I have spirit friends with whom I speak via the Ouija board, and I also communicate with them now through my dreams and my journaling. And they really helped me shape a lot of my writings and teachings throughout the years in the three books I wrote. With the third book, Patrick just showed you, the Spirit of Alchemy, Secret Teachings of the Sacred Union, they were very active in this process to the point of helping me really get unstuck at times or even make the process flow better. Writing a book is a very daunting task. And this book, it took 2 years that I was working on it. But what really became daunting about it was 6 months before it was ready to be published, I got a new direction about this book, and it came from my spirit guides. I was truly writing a book, as Patrick knows, about a book about women and them stepping into their own empowerment, because I did a lot of women's groups, and of course I'm a woman, and I thought this will really help women on some level. Well, the message came through that no longer could this book be about a gender. It needed to be genderless and specific for everybody, male, female, whatever, however persuasion is. The focus was that this information is too critical and important that we need to save it for just some elite group or some sex over here. So the book really talks about getting into this whole process of balancing your own masculine and feminine energies, assertive and more receptive energies within your life. And there's a whole path that becomes this alchemist path that you follow and undertake with me through reading this book. Now, what Patrick was referring to about the making of this book was that I was working directly with them, channeling them through the board, also having them in my dreams a lot. And I got to a point where I was like, gosh, this is a lot for me to undertake. Now I've got to change the direction of this whole book, all this research. So I had to put a lot of the research aside and start working directly with this new information. And it came like rapid fire. But how I was able to unlock it was I had a session with them and they told me, they said, this book is already written on some level. Now here's our esoteric stuff, Patrick. This is where we go into the wormhole. Time on the other side, in the other dimensions, is not limited by our space-time continuum that we know. And therefore, there is no sense of a linear time. There is space, and you can move around in it, but there's no sense of a linear time. So they told me and helped me by saying, the book is already written. I said, well, find it for me. I don't know where to find it. And they said, you'll find it. But they told me one trick for me. Now, many of you know I also do artwork. And so they told me to create and draw, sketch out the image on the front cover of the book. And once I do that, yeah, Patrick will hold it up. And once I did that, they said, then you will find, read between the lines of the artwork, and you will see the story unfold. I went, wow, brilliant. I'm an art therapist. Yeah, I look at artwork all the time. I want to know the meaning within the art. And then they said, do it for yourself in this story. So I took the images that are sacred to alchemy, and all those images on that book is my own interpretation of the sacred symbols and alchemy practice, the alchemical practice. And every symbol on here represents a stage and a process you must go through as you begin to align with this, the balance of the energies within, and align with the heavens, with the earth. And so the book, I'll put it up there again. It starts with the Philosopher's Stone down here. It has all the elements of water, fire, air, and earth. And the Philosopher's Stone is where the Red King and the White Queen are standing upon. And they represent the balance of your masculine, feminine energy, and also the different stages you go through in the alchemical process. And this is Hermes Trismegistus' staff, which reaches up into the Hermes Trismegistus means three times the great. He is known as the main alchemist teacher from the Greeks. He was Thoth in the Egyptian terminology. He was Enoch, supposedly, in the Old Testament. He reincarnated, and he brought forth this incredible information. But the whole goal of alchemy truly is to connect your internal flame, which is inside you, these little flames, with the eternal flame of Source, which people may call God. And so this book really gets into the practice of how to do that and to go through different steps in your life. But to get to it, I had to draw this image first, which is really a large painting, and I shrunk it down on Photoshop. We worked with this with my other artist to help me get it on the front cover. But it was drawn and then painted later, but drawn. And after I did that, amazingly, the messages, the book, everything flew out of me as I sat and wrote and typed on my computer every day. It was crazy cool how it worked.
So you did that artwork about the same time the book the project was coming together for the book?
As soon as the project shifted, I sat down with the artwork, and that allowed me to reshift myself and align with my new goal for this book. And the goal was the goal that the spirit guides gave me, to be for everybody. And then they helped me to really fine-tune it. It was always going to be about alchemy, but I was going to write it from a feminine perspective, realizing too that as you reach into alchemy, you have to have the balance of the opposites. So I get a lot into duality of things, male, female, up, down, good, bad. And I explore all that in the book. But yeah, so the image came along the time when I had to shift the perspective and the goal of the book. And that's when it all just really flew out of me in a matter of like 5 months.
Very cool. Now, alchemy itself, the word or the concept, has always kind of been confusing to me. Sure. And would we just say that alchemy could basically mean spiritual growth? Is that just a way to think of alchemy?
Well, you know, and you've read the book, and yes, I do take it in those directions. Alchemy truly was an ancient art that started many thousands of years ago, way before even some of the arts you might know of the Middle Ages, Dark Ages. You hear of alchemy, the metachemistry alchemy, where they actually sat with in their laboratories with the beakers and flask and chambers, and they took different constituents and ingredients and added them to base metals and turned it, like lead, into gold. And that's a true alchemy practice. And you heard about that mostly in the Middle Ages. However, that practice of alchemy went further back. And in fact, it goes further back to a point of these things, well, they're called the Emerald Tablet. They're actually pieces of emerald that are huge. And they're not sketched into them, or it's actually a relief carving. And we don't know how that could have been created, because that's something we can't create even to this day with the fine precision these were created. Now, we can't find them at this point. They're supposedly hidden somewhere. But Alexander the Great had them at one time and had them on display in Egypt for hundreds of years. And they finally had to put them away and hide them when people were book burning and people were getting freaked out on these alchemical practices, because it was like real magic. So the alchemy, there's two levels of alchemy. One is emetic chemistry, which is we just talked about, when you sit in your laboratory and change base metals into gold. And the second one is what came out of the process that these alchemists in their laboratories started to discover. So what happened was, as they were transforming these elements, they started noticing a personal self-transformation. Now, many of these alchemists were already hermetic scientists or Gnostic followers, believers, and the Gnostic faith was really the predecessor to Christianity. It is what they believed in, the divinity of man, that you can go directly to yourself, to reach into God, so you can have that direct communion, and you didn't have to go through an intermediary, such as, you know, a pope or a priest or a rabbi or whatever the other medium was. They believed you can go directly to it. And that in itself was very scary to a lot of the religious orders, so that's another reason why they had to hide. And so they wrote their alchemical messages that were for spiritual growth or for transforming the metals. They put them in symbols and signs. And so this book gets, those are the symbols and signs, like the Ouroboros, the snake biting its tail, and has a Negredo, the Rubedo, and the Albedo, all the different functions of the alchemy practice. And they wrote them in images like I did. They wrote them down in parable-like sayings, but they were based upon the axioms, the maxims that came from the Emerald Tablets. The biggest one, Patrick, you may have heard before, and in fact, many religions were based upon this principle, and were based upon the Emerald Tablet. Most people don't know this. We're based upon those axioms, and what the main one was is the law of correspondence, as above, so below. You'll hear that throughout many great texts in many different cultures all around the world. Alchemy was everywhere around in all the greater cultures of the time, China, Egypt, Europe. You'll find it everywhere, anywhere they had sacred practices of such. And so these men and women started finding out they were transforming themselves in incredible ways. And so they were secretive and went underground. And their idea was that they were learning they could be more in touch with their higher self and connected back to source. So this book, as I wrote it, really took me on an odyssey. As I was, I've always been working with talking to my higher self, but it took me on an odyssey even outside of that to go and communicate with source. And these beings that I'm working with now, these ethereal beings, with whom I speak with on the Ouija board and also in dreams and writing and other methods, they are an aspect of source, and they come with just really profound prophetic messages. And they put a lot of their messages and asked me to put them in this book. So the book is a journey. It's an odyssey, but you've got to read it slowly, because there's a lot of wordsmithing in there and wordplay and metaphors, and to really help you dig into your own imagination, dig into your own center of power, and really begin to put that back into your life.
I definitely think it's a book that I'm going to read again soon. And I didn't have like a pad of paper next to me, and maybe next time I'll do that. You dedicated this book to someone you call Dacky, and your fans will know who Dacky is. And the spelling of that name is so fascinating to me. And so I'll put it in the show notes for people to see. And I'm pretty sure you talked to us a year ago about Dacky, but in case people don't know, who is Dacky and how did they get lucky enough to have a book dedicated to them?
Dacky, it's spelled capital D, capital A, capital K. Little I. My name is spelled capital K, capital A, capital D, my initials. And I won't ruin what that is. I won't give that away in the book. But Dacky was my imaginary playmate. I was told he was imaginary. He wasn't to me. So I dedicate the book to Dackie, my not so imaginary playmate, because he came back into my life. I have not spoken to him since I was 5. I met him at the age of 2, and I spoke with him quite blank, right there in front of me, pointedly. He stood there physically in front of me and would talk to me for a few years. And he came back as I was writing this book, surprise, surprise to me, and he helped me channel and write a couple of poems that are in the book. The book opens with a poem that Dackie helped me write. And it turns out Dackie was not imaginary. He wasn't fake. He's actually a guardian-like angel. And so he still is around, and he comes in at times, and he has a very interesting way of communicating. It is very playful, very trickster-like, but not in a negative way. Very playful and fun and wordsmithing. Again, he plays around with the words, and he's jovial, and he actually looks like a little sprite. So I really thought Dackie was gone forever. I felt badly that possibly because I was told I shouldn't be talking to myself. It was an imaginary playmate. You got to go to school, not do this at school. And who are you talking to? Are you crazy? I felt like I had pushed him away. And all these years, and there I was, you know, here I am. It was 45 years later, and he's still with me. And not come through until now when I wrote this book. And so, yeah, he's part of this book too, and he's part of the writing of it. And I do tell you all about Dackie in the beginning and also the very end of the book. But don't jump ahead. Read the book. Don't jump ahead.
Have you ever tried to sketch or draw Dackie?
I know exactly what Dackie looks like, Patrick, and you'll love this one because you and I did the Halloween show, and mm-hmm. we shared Halloween pictures of ourselves. Another time I dressed up, and it wasn't for Halloween, but it was for a Ice Bee in the marching band, and it was for a band parade, and it was around the fall time, and we had a dress up. I was a clarinet section, and we had to dress up like it was the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. We were like, I don't know, 13, 14 dwarfs. And all of a sudden I put this outfit together. I had a blue cap with a long thing hanging down the ball, and I had this giant blue like lapel, striped shirt, blue belt, blue tights, and I had big ears. And my mom took a picture of me before the parade, and I went, that's Dackie. Oh, my God. I dressed up like Dackie. I know exactly what Dackie looks like. I've never drawn him, but I dressed up like him. And that, so he came back to me just in the image of me dressing up like him. I don't believe it's happenstance. I believe it's synchronicity. Just to remind me in a trickster-like way, I'm still here. And as I still have that image somewhere, it's in my parents' slides. We used to do slide projections. But yeah, so he showed up then. And I was then like in 9th grade. So it was kind of cool. I had a reminder of him right there. And I went, wow, Dackie's still here.
That's cool. And for that memory to stick out, then there has to be.
Yeah.
That has
oh,
to
yeah.
be the image. So I don't know exactly where what I'm about to bring up fits in the organization of this interview, but there is a beautiful story that is the biggest thing that I remember and came away with in your book. A mentor that you met in the 80s while you were teaching belly dancing. What?
What?
Belly dancing? Know. My mind was blown. Will you tell us a little bit about that special relationship? And maybe even if you want to do a dance for us, that would be cool too.
Oh, sure.
Watching the video.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I was studying belly dance. I've studied it for many, many years and used to teach. At this time, I think I had been taking it about maybe 8 years or 7 years. And I met this wonderful woman. But the really cool part of the story, how I got to the woman was all through these synchronistic events. Somebody meeting me and knowing them for a day or two and then coming to my show and then having me meet this woman and me making the phone. It was just, everything just flowed really nicely. And these people came along throughout my life as they do in everybody's life. That's why I share little stories like this so people can understand that we have these really incredible synchronistic moments where everything's aligned and we have to just learn to be open to it because they are there. It's really cool to start seeing them because then you start to feel more interconnected. So this story is one of interconnection. So I get to this woman finally and we meet and I go to her home where she has this gorgeous studio. I've never seen a more precious belly dance studio in my life with this huge giant window that was at the apex of this A-frame, and there was a beautiful stained glass window that opened up to this mountain scene. It was just like being in temple or church. In fact, our students would come in and say that. Well, I met her, and it turns out this woman had some really brilliant and incredible experiences with the goddess. And she had felt like she had an experience that brought the balance of the male, female, masculine, feminine energy within herself, which is known to the alchemists as a hierosgamos, which is when the sacred king and queen, the red king and the white queen, come together through these processes that we have to undergo. And it's a lot of work, but it starts to happen as you go through these. And sometimes in life, you may not want to do this work, but it's going to throw you in to do this work. So she had this experience where she got really like deathly sick, went to all these specialists, and she told me all this right after I had met her, and I had been hanging out with her for a few weeks. And she said, they didn't know what it was. And she said, it laid me flat on my back for months and months and months. And I thought I was going to die. So I'd lay up in my beautiful studio. And she said, one day I was laying there and I tried to sit up. And all of a sudden I felt this great force walk in the room and it pushed me on my back. And she said, I wasn't afraid. And she goes, I felt it. And she goes, I know this. My mentor's name is Juana. And she said, I know this energy. And it was a goddess. And then after that, when she recognized the goddess, she said to her in her head, in her mind, mind's eye in her head, she said, we will come to visit you every day to help you heal and to teach you about what our gifts are. And so she went in that studio every day and laid down, and every day they came in apparitions to her. She visually saw them, not her mind's eye, saw them out here, and she interacted with them, and they told her to write stuff down. And she'd been writing all this stuff down and had it kept it for like 15 years, and then she meets me. She's 30 years my senior. So when we met, she was, of course, 30 years older than me. She's now since passed away, but she shared a lot of this with me, and she said, Karen, I've been waiting to meet somebody who can help me bring this out into the public. And my work with belly dance was always the sacred aspect of the dance, and that it really meant something very specific and sacred to the geometry of the or geometric patterns within the world. And as we resonated with those patterns, we would resonate with the energies of the world and become more empowered for it. And she said, oh my God, that's what I've been doing. And I said, oh my God, that's what I'm doing. And then when she told me the name of her goddess, Inanna Ishtar, Queen of Heaven, I said, oh my goodness, oh, because that was my favorite goddess of all times that I had studied in graduate school, and it stuck out of my mind. So Patrick's talking about this whole synchronistic thing that goes on with the story, but there's so many synchronistic things even about writing this book and about the stories in the book. And I share the book in a way that I share some stories and I share a lot of history, and there's a lot of research in there and a lot of psychology and a lot of hermetic science and a lot of alchemy in there. I put it all in there because I want people to hear and read and see and feel this information on many different levels. Because as I learned in writing this book, if I got back into my art, the words would flow. Other books, I could do it without drawing. This took me back into my own artwork, took me back into my abilities and talents. And this book is a book to help you uncover what those are, those things that you have within you, those proclivities, the talents, the skills, the abilities to augment and live your life in better ways. So you're better for living this, what you came to earth to live and be. So this book kind of helps you uncover that and to begin to reintegrate that within your life.
Have you had communication with Juana since then?
You know what's interesting about that? We always talked about when she would pass over, she'd come back. She has not spoken to me directly, but I got a message from her that she is very aware of what I'm doing. She also died of a very painful death, and she's doing a lot of recovery and had been recovering for a few years. She is now fine, but no, she's not come to me directly. And maybe one of these days she will. But I have received messages from her from my spirit guides.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, very cool. It is.
Well, I want to first of all give a shout out to Carbon Lilies, our buds Carbon Lilies.
Yeah.
I see them in the questions app there. So I just want to remind anybody watching, I know we have several people watching because I can see it, to ask a question if you have any questions. And I'm going to move on to kind of some behind the scenes stuff, but then I eventually do have three questions for sure that were submitted, and one of them is an audio question. But first, Karen, this is, you know, the biggest thing that interests me. Take me to, when you're working on a project like this, take me to what it looks like when you sit down to channel information from your spirit friends for a book or a project? And do you have a partner with you at that time, or is it just yourself? When do you do that? Do you record it with an audio recorder? Do you transcribe with a notebook? Just how, show us how that works
behind the scenes. Are you getting ready to write a book?
I am not.
I have a lot of secrets. No, I don't mind sharing at all, because it works differently for each person. And so I've been fine tuning mine. It's the third book. So, and I'm working on some other projects right now too, writing projects. So, I do so many different things now. I used to just sit down and would write an outline, and then I would talk it through. Back then it was dictaphone, transcribe it, and then rewrite it. It's so much transformed since then. So what I do is I do have a bit of an outline that I work with, and then I let it go. I let the outline go, and I know the main, I always write down the main mission, the main goal of the book, and let the outline go. And then I go retreat to, typically I'll do a session, and I'll say, this is the book we're writing now. And they usually tell me what book I'm writing. They say, this is what you're going to write about next. Okay, great. And then we will have a session where we'll just talk about it, ideas. And they'll say, have you thought of this? And maybe we could go on this level. And you know how important that has been for you in your life. So don't forget to include this aspect of the art or the aspect of your imagination, for example. And so I will take that, what they say, and then I will, on my own, get in a space and write. Now, this book was really special to me too, because I wrote it in many different places. I wrote it on the airplane with my little iPad and a little keyboard. I wrote it in my swimming pool. I have this giant raft boat, and I float in that and write my book. I get great ideas. I've written it sitting in my bed. I've written it sitting in this wonderful personal infrared sauna that was loaned to me during the process of this. I'd sit there and write for hours while I'm getting this wonderful infrared sauna. I also would drive my car, and I'd get ideas and put on the dictaphone, my little tape recorder, and I go back and then listen to it and transcribe it. But one of the biggest places that was probably the best place for inspiration was my early morning walks. And I would walk with the purpose of, I want to receive messages. I want to be open. I would kind of go neutral for the walk, but just open and try not to get caught up in my thoughts of the day, but just see what came. And all of a sudden, thoughts would come, messages would come. And this is my friends communicating with me. So this is my higher self communicating. This is the outdoors. Oh, the outdoors is full of messages. And I would just talk and walk. La 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 la. Put it down. Next thought, whatever came up. And then I would go on these walks for, you know, a few miles, come back, and I was like, wow, that's pretty good. Or I can rewrite that. The poem that I'm referring to that Dackie told me came on that walk. And when I first started writing it, I read it. I couldn't stop crying because it was so true. This is like where, when he entered my life, it wasn't like I could understand those principles at the age of two, but this is what he was setting me up for with the rest of spirit guides. He's my very first spirit guide ever. And so that's why the book is dedicated to him. But the process of writing for me is very non-traditional. I don't just sit at one place and I have to sit at that same place and have my cup of coffee sitting there and my crystal ball over here, whatever it is. It's different for me. I really go with the flow, and I allow movement to help me. The walking, being in the pool, I would type in my swimming pool, I put my computer right there at the edge of the pool. Swim off, come back, write something else. Swim off, come back, write something else. It was just everything I read about in that book is all these things I practice. I would get great ideas for my book in the middle of the night or early morning, 2 to 3 to 4 a.m. That became notorious during the last 6 months of writing the book. I'd wake up with a pen and paper, write. Sometimes I'd record it, go right back to bed, get up and go, well, who said that? And then it would be these wonderful levels of inspiration pulling out of my own internal guidance. So my higher self was helping me at those times too. So I did a lot of dream work. And then I did a lot of journaling, just writing about my thoughts inside. And I go, wow, that really goes really great with what I'm writing about. So it was quite a process. And of course, I did a lot of research on the different alchemy, the process of alchemy, alchemist. But I've been studying alchemy since 1989. So it's not something I'm unfamiliar with. It's been a very important part of my life. But yeah, there's a lot of elements to the writing. I hope I covered all of them there, Patrick.
Yeah, and we have a question, but I do want to ask you really quick.
Oh, sure.
When you think about all the messages that you've gotten over decades of doing, you know, Ouija and channeling, one of my past guests, Lee Allen Howard, who is a medium and does lots of channeling for personal growth, he has a massive database of like years of topics and information from his channeling and his work. Do you have something similar to that? How do you keep all of these messages that you get?
Oh, I do. And so, you know, I've been keeping copious notes. I talk about that a lot in the writing of my second book, The Spirits of Ouija. But I have stacks and stacks. Here's a tablet right here. It's a new one I just started. Wow. So it looks like this. And I keep stacks and stacks of these. But yet I record now. I started recording with this process about, it's almost been a year, maybe 10 months I've been recording now everything electronically. So writing this book was a lot easier to go back and pull up some of the newer messages. If not, I've got them in my notes. Back then I'd write what I asked and what the question was and what the answers were. Now I just write the answers as it's coming out on the board, and I have the questions already on recordings. And I upload and keep all those. I keep notes. I'm constantly reading, studying, practicing, doing spiritual work, and I keep copious notes in my journals too. And I keep dream journals. I keep a lot of, and I'll keep an art journal too. So I do a lot of this work. I would say there's not a time that goes by any day or every day that I'm doing some type of touching on this realm. And I do it through these different levels and messages.
Cool. Well, our very first question for our live video episode, I'm excited. So Diane and Denise, our buddies from the History Goes Bump podcast.
Oh, cool.
Her question, let's see, I'm practicing here. I'll have to select the question so you guys can see it. Her question, does she ever worry about opening herself up to channel that she might have something enter her that she doesn't want in there?
Well, that's a great question. Thanks for asking it. You know, some people tell you when they do the Ouija board, they open themselves up and the energy goes through them. That's not my experience at all. No energy goes through me at all. It's my energy solely. I am centered in myself. It's a technique I've learned. I've learned this over the years. I've never had a spirit come through me, in me. I'll explain for me what I think, why I think that is for me. So when I do this work, the spirits don't go, bloop, blah, you know, and come through me. What happens instead is that there's an energy. I have a very, I get in my centered space, which you can call like an alpha state. I get focused, very focused, and I'm very receptive in that space. Receptive to my energy going out. And I see it almost like a radio tower, and I do visualize that, sends it up, and it only works with the vibration, the frequency I'm calling on. I call the Ouija board the great cosmic phone because it's like I do dial into frequencies. I'm dialing a certain frequency as I see it, and the frequency is answered by that same frequency. So I go right through those astral planes. I go beyond that, and I go into this ethereal realm where my guides are, and I have no problem getting them every single time I get on the board, unless of atmospheric effects and there's some kind of weird planetary alignment or there's bad solar flares or something going on, electromagnetic storms. It's a little harder for them to communicate because it's all energy out here, not in here. We're very clear about that. Now, people that say they open themselves up to it, I just think that's really silly to open yourself up to anything when you don't know what you're opening yourself to. You can do this work by being in yourself. In fact, you need to be grounded in yourself. You need to do a lot of light work, a lot of breathing, breath work, a lot of grounding work. And I do share all those techniques actually in my second and third book, how to do that if people are curious. But no, I've never had anything come through me, in me. I won't allow it. That doesn't work. Nobody's trying to knock on my door to come in. That just doesn't happen. And I'll tell you why I think that is. I think it's because I've never had a fear about this tool from the get-go. I got it when I was 8. I've been doing it for 42 years. And I never had a fear of the other side, maybe because I've always experienced them. I've seen them. Well, I've had some, you know, ghosts pop in and out that I literally see, not with my mind's eye, I physically literally see them out here. And that's kind of, sound a little freaky at times, but it's not never bad. And I would never invite. And I also do a lot of energetic work around my body with sage and with the visualization. And I've been doing this for years. I've studied a lot of classes, taken a lot of courses, and did a lot of this work, even in my own work as a past life therapist. I work a lot with energy, and I have it set up wherever I am, wherever I'm staying, they can't come into that space, which is my bedroom where I'm sleeping in my bed. So they can't be in your face, you know, right there, wake up. So there's some techniques and tools I do, and how it works is that really free will rules. And what also rules is your beliefs, your feelings, and your thoughts. If there's a lot of fear, you're going to attract fear to you. If there's a lot of comfortability and openness in terms of being centered and grounded, I will get energy that respects that. And that's how it's been working for me all these years. Great question.
Well, and I want to go to our audio question because it kind of follows. It's a nice follow-up question with that.
Oh, great.
But this is from my good friend, Maddie. We call him Maddie Nene. I'll just tell everybody it's Maddie Nene. But cool. Anyway, he has a cool question that kind of follows up on that. I hope this works.
Hi, Patrick. This is Matt. I have a question for Karen Dahlman. I'm wondering if in a Ouija session, if you do end up making contact with something, entity or otherwise, I'm wondering if that particular connection could come back at later on in life, and I'm talking like possibly years later, and, you know, sort of haunt you or sort of come back into your life in some way. And I'm wondering, my question is kind of twofold, if it's possible for some sort of connection to come back to you, if it's unwanted energy or negative energy, how would you go about getting rid of that? I'm hoping that Karen has some good insight on this, and you're doing a great job with your shows and your podcasting. Love your episodes. Everything is going really well for you. And Karen, I'm going to start reading your books and get more into sort of your world. So I'm looking forward to the response, and hope you guys have a great day. Take care.
Well, great. Cool. Well, yeah, Maddie, thank you for asking that question, taking the time to do the audio as well. And yeah, kudos to Patrick. He's got a number one show. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Good question, because as I mentioned in this earlier, I have the spirit guide, a guardian angel, if you will, named Dackie, who came back. And he's back now working with me in the wings. That's his way. He doesn't come right out front like a lot of my other angel friends and other ethereal beings do. Now, you're talking more on lines of something that might be a little less beautiful and angelic. It might be a little more negative and menacing. Yeah, you know, there are trickers out there. I'm the first to say, and I experimented with this as I've been working my way through the different astral levels with the board. And there comes a time where you have to, strengthen yourself. And so I tell people all the time, the first thing you should ever be doing, if you want to ever use this tool, is have a spiritual practice in place outside of using this tool. This tool is not a spiritual practice. This tool is just a tool. That's all it is. Your spiritual practice is about you and your connection to your centeredness, your groundedness, and back to your source and your higher self. So that is what's important to have in place. Now, if you did the board when you were really young, let's say, for example, that's an example I could probably give, would be, and you had something less than friendly come through and they were negative and you felt really grossed out, icked out by it, and it wasn't happy. The first thing you should always do when that happens is put the board away. You are the one, in a way, trespassing in their realm, and you're the one that needs to take control of that tool you're using and put it away and be done. Now, people say, oh, they're going to come through a portal and pop out, and I've never had that experience. Although I'm not going to discount somebody else's experiences, because people tell me stories all the time. Again, I'm going to go back, and this third book talks about this, why I believe the way I believe about this. And we create 100% of everything in our world. That's hard to understand. And it's hard to understand that because then we have to be vulnerable and naked saying this to the universe that, oh my God, I messed up and my stuff has caused problems for others. So we come to the board, any tool, any circumstance, any device, and we're putting our energies into it. So if you're inside of you and you're using the board and you're feeling pretty angry, frustrated, I mean, those are normal patterns and normal behaviors of humankind. We all have that. I won't sit at the board if I'm feeling really upset or if I'm feeling down or really sick, because you're going to draw that energy to you. You're weakened. Think of your aura like this, like a Swiss cheese. And so as you are less centered and on your guard, meaning, I don't mean on your guard, but I mean like integrate, unless you are feeling really whole and you're not feeling sick and angry and all these negative feelings and stuff, put holes in your aura. It becomes easy for energies to attach and come through and come in, and it does make for a mess. So never mess around with the board when you're imbibing on substances that lessens your aura. Don't ever do it when you're in a joking, stupid manner, making a joke of it. We all did that. I did it at slumber parties. I used to do it in the graveyard. Hello, what was I doing? Well, what I was doing was learning all these things. But I have to say,
I think that's the case with this, with his yes. early experience. It was one of those first times with a group. I think that's what it was.
And you know, that makes total sense. I had an earlier experience where somebody came through and started cussing at me, Maddie. And when that happened, I thought, I'm not going to let anybody talk to me. Like, are you kidding me? Some unseen thing? Really? I don't even like people, my friends. Nobody can talk to me like that. I put the board away. Get like that with the energy. Be respectful, but say, hey, you can't talk to me that way. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Leave. You're gone. Wipe the board off. Put it away. So now, if you feel like it's coming back, it's up to you to strengthen your energy. It's up to you to do white light visualizations. It's up to you to take sage yourself, use candles. You use any talisman or sacred object that you find that helps you strengthen yourself. The key is, it's what you believe again. Now, for me, I believe in sage. I believe in the power of sage, of the natural burning grass and sweet grass as well. And I'll burn that around my aura. Anytime I go into a haunted place or I'm asked to go do some kind of communication on that level, I will sage myself. And I might even sage the board. I've been known to put salt on my board and put dirt on it too to wipe it off. Do what works for you. I tend to follow more of a Native American tradition because I spent a lot of time working with that population as well as living in that area of New Mexico. And I learned a lot of their sacred techniques, and I will use those techniques. You, at any stage of the game, have the ability of free will, your choices, to not allow that energy. And so really work with strengthening your energy. My books do talk about how to do that. And then if you ever come back to this tool again, you want to come from it a place of again, being in a place where you feel like you don't have Swiss cheese aura, but you feel very solid in yourself and you know how to use your own white light. The imagination is not fake. The imagination of imagining that white light going through your body, through your breath, as well as with the tool, although you can't see it, it doesn't mean it's fake. Everything originates out of our thoughts, which starts in our imaginations. So just remember that, Maddie. You have every single bit of empowerment to not allow the energy back. Now, I want my good energy to come back, so I want Dackie to come back, so he comes back now. But thanks for the question.
I really appreciate that question. I think the answer is probably going to help a lot of people that have just general anxieties about, you know, the board from past experiences. So,
or even anxieties about just themselves doing an investigation and feeling like they got haunted or something followed them home. This work I'm talking about goes beyond the board. I use it when I'm not even doing the board. Let's say I went to a board meeting and some negative stuff went down. I'm going to go home and sage myself. Just saying, I'm going to keep my energy as clean as I can. And if I have some negative interaction with somebody, I'm going to sage or go into my meditative spot to release that energy. This is something that you do all the time. And so when you are working with tools or interacting with people or even meditating or maybe working tarot cards or a pendulum, you're coming to it with a great space of being, a great space of your beingness, that you know that you are protected. That's the key. And know that, believe that, feel that, think that, imagine that, and you will be.
Or jump in one of those infrared sauna things. I'm going to have to search that. What's that about?
Well, I'll tell you what, that's fabulous because it's the sun energy that these machines put out. It's a certain wavelength. And what it does, it goes through your whole body and it heats you up, but not from the, like let's say you walk outside in the sun and it's a beautiful, it's a cold day, but beautiful sun, the sun's out. You can feel the warmth, even though it's cold outside. It's that part of the sun energy they've harnessed in these machines. And it helps you go through your body and heal all kinds of things. It relaxes you. It helps with, oh my God, there's so many ailments. And I don't have any conditions going on, but I'll tell you what it did for me. Sitting in that box, I could write prolifically. I was like, whoa, I'm sitting in this box. I'd be in that box 68 hours a day writing because it just relaxed me. I was able to do my meditations better. And now I have one of these boxes myself because I use it all the time and they help for anything from, like I say, indigestion to rheumatoid arthritis to just any kind of physical body ache you may have, back aches. They're fabulous. I love them. I can send you a link, Patrick, later.
Does it give you vitamin D, you know, that everybody needs?
It gives you vitamin D. vitamin D, a lot of vitamins, a lot of other nutrients that we get that are in the good rays of the sun that don't hurt your skin. And you can sit there at 125, 130 degrees and not feel hot. It does this really cool thing inside your body as opposed to making you super hot, where you couldn't sit in that in a regular wet sauna. So it also releases toxins. It helps with weight loss. There's a lot of cool things it does.
Very cool.
It helped me with my book.
We'll see you like doing some infomercial for some infrared saunas. Okay, so we've got another question from Lana and John from Carbon Lilies. And they say, any suggestions to shake a negative frame of reference with the Ouija board? I, John, grew up being told the board is evil. Mm-hmm. And though I've never used the board, I still can't shake that feeling. And it scares me. I'd like to be okay with it.
Mm-hmm. First of all, I say hi, Lana and John. Glad you guys are joining us tonight. Great to have you here. Thank you. Thank you for the question. People ask that a lot. They say, you know, I've just got this stigma about it because it's what I've been told or spoon-fed. It's what's been shoved down my throat, or it's what, you know, I grew up in that environment. And that's you know, that's a given. And that happens to a lot of people. There's some religions that don't like it. A lot of people don't like it because they think you're speaking to false spirits and how do you know and all these things. And the internet is full of these superstitions and also Ouija-stitions and some folklore and lore. And there's probably some tales in there that I believe people create that are real for them. So let's don't negate that. So yeah, so you have to in yourself decide that this is a tool for you or a tool you want to experiment with. And what we need to do when we work with this tool is realize that's all it is. It's cardboard. The new ones are, or it's masonite, or it's wood, or it's paper. I write mine on paper sometimes and do the Ouija board that way. So we got to realize that's all it is. There's no force. And just by having it does not mean it's like imbued or embedded with some kind of satanic power. You know, I don't think people at Hasbro are able to put their satanic power inside the board and they package it and sell it. You know what I mean? So we have to look at our thoughts behind it. So I'm being kind of silly with it to say, look at where those thoughts originated and what you were told. And were you told by somebody, like, was it somebody in your family who had a sister's brother, uncle, cousin, nephew who used the board? Or was it somebody who had firsthand experience? Or was it the stories you read on the internet or things you've been told from maybe an institution or from a parent? I was very fortunate I didn't have that, but I heard other parents saying, when you go to Karen's house for a sleepover, don't be playing with the Ouija board. I said, okay, well, we'll play light as a feather, stiff as a board. We'll do some other kind of supernatural thing instead. I can look at a candle, we'll call upon a ghost, okay? We won't use the board. So begin to understand that that's all it is. It's a tool. So you wouldn't be afraid of your tarot cards probably, and you wouldn't be afraid of a crystal ball in somebody's house. You wouldn't be afraid of my crystal necklace I'm wearing or my Ouija pendant because that's all that is. We give objects meaning. Yes, some object crystals have their own energy, but yet we give it meaning to us. Some crystals work for people for their tarot readings. Some I wear it just because I like to have, I feel like for me, it represents protection. It represents my own protection I have inside. So use your resources. Use your talismans. Use what works for you that allows you to feel like you are safe. You are safe when you do your own light work, your own spiritual work. Have that in practice first. Know that if you walk into an investigation, a haunted house, a haunted tour, wherever you walk into, you'll be untouched if you feel like you go in there as a whole being. You know, you're not fragmented. You're not afraid. You can have skepticism. I always say stay skeptical. And you can have curiosity and uncertainty what's going on. But it's the fear that draws things. So just if you can get in a space, Lana and John especially, where you feel like you realize it's just a tool. And truly what makes the board work is not the planchette, not the board, it's you. And knowing that and knowing you could trust yourself to be in a space of knowingness, be in a space of your own spiritual practice, having your talismans around, extra energy, extra reminders of your energy, that's what you will be using when you come to the board. It's you. Anytime anything comes through, because that'll happen in the beginning, something weird will come through, somebody will cuss at you, or some weird spirit will be doing gibberish or gobbledygook. It's just a matter of saying, I don't understand. Thank you for your communication. Bye-bye. And then do it again later. So you have the control. Remember that too. It's your control. You're the one trespassing. Or in my case, I now am invited into these realms, but I used to trespass into the lower realms to get to know how to use this tool. And that I had to have respect when I was over there and also respect when I left it for myself. So yeah, you can do this if you get in that space of knowing that you are protected just because of your own spiritual practice.
I need to remember that too. I think I haven't had the board out much in the last probably year. I've gotten
Why?
And I've been very open about how I haven't had any activity from the board. And I think one thing that would help me is to realize that it is me and stop waiting for, you know, cardboard to do something. You know,
it is you. And what happens when you sit there for a while and it doesn't move. That's fine. That's the process. It doesn't move. We got miles of that. And then finally one day, boom, it starts to move and you follow it. It's easier to do it with a partner though, because in the beginning, you think you're going, oh, I'm pushing it. I'm making it happen. My EDM motor. It's my small muscle skills are moving this from my brain. If you have somebody else, it begins what it feels like. It's a pulling. It's not you're on it on top of it. It pulls you. And I always ask my partners to explain it to me that are new at doing it. And they say, yeah, it's pulling me. And I go, good. Just trust that pull. Let's go. Here we go. We're on for a ride. Go with it. And that's what it's like. But for me, I was fortunate it worked right away. Yet when I sit down with new partners, it may take weeks, months, and many months. And I've worked with people where it doesn't even work after a year sometimes. We just get gibberish. But having said that, though, too, have your intentions for you to make contact. I say first, you know, make contact with the dead loved one. Those are the easiest ones to reach. And after that, go right into your angels and guides. Don't just open it to anything.
Oh, that's good advice.
Yeah, go to angels and guides because they're waiting in the wings. There are people that are waiting in the wings and they don't interfere unless you call upon them. And they tell me they're there waiting for everybody has these connections that I have. Everybody has them and then some, and they're just waiting to come forward. So I say start with the deceased loved one that you can trust, that you love.
That makes me feel good that you say that it's okay to start with a loved one first.
Oh, I would. Absolutely.
Makes me happy.
Good, and you should, and that's what's going to try to come through first, and then move into angels and guides. Work with loved ones first, and don't just go into anything. You know, I don't at this point. I only open it to if I'm an investigation. I'll work with what's there. But I have great bouncers and protectors on the other side, and I'm so centered in myself, and I'm very clear that I'm the one that allows us to work. I don't mean to need a board, that's a place you'll get to. But Patrick, what's really cool that I've learned about using this tool, if you have a lot of patience for it, you have to have a lot of patience and persistency, and you just got to be there with it and time. What happens, Patrick, after a while is that you start to develop your empathic, your intuitive, your more psychic abilities. They start to develop using this tool. It happens with all these spiritual tools, not just this tool, because you start to rely on yourself as having the answers and being able to use it, and that develops you internally.
Well, thank you. And John says that's a huge help. And so he thanks you and appreciates your
answer. Oh, you're very welcome, John. Great.
Answer. And I have two kind of different questions that people submitted in. One is from my mom. I begged my mom to send me in a question. And she wants to know, what are some interesting examples of validation that you have had from channeling with the board? Do you call it channeling through the board?
It's funny. That term's being used more and more as people see what I'm doing. I never called it that, but now I'm starting to see that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm channeling. It's just that word's become really popular. I just thought it was receiving messages from my spirit friends. But yes, it is a form of channeling for sure. They're not in my body. The energy is not coming through me, but it's working with my energy to move the planchette. So I love that question because people do want to have validation. For me, it's been the solidity and the validity of the messages. And I just wrote a recent blog, Patrick. You may not have seen it. It's on my website. So people may want to go to my website at KarenADolman.com. And I wrote a blog on, can you trust the accuracy of the messages? I want people to read that because I've got some very interesting things to say, probably something you may not expect me to say, but I'll say a little bit here. It takes time, as it does with anybody in life, to build a relationship, to know you can trust them. So if you start with a loved one when you do this work and you know your loved one and they come through and say something that only you may know or something that's specific to your family and you're working the board with somebody else, maybe not your mom, Patrick, then you can see that there's some validity there. There may be a story they'll tell you or a phrase they may say that you never even knew, and there's validity there too. I get that all the time with people when they want to talk to loved ones. They say, well, I they used to call me that. How'd you know? I go, again, it's not me. These are the messages coming through. I'm the messenger. Don't shoot me. I'm just relaying the message. And so that happens time and time again. A certain pet name will be used, a certain phrase, a certain way of communicating. They may give information. I've gotten it. Other people have gotten it. Information about where things are located. You lost something, a ring, money, other things. I don't use the board for those reasons, but our purposes. I will say this. That's another way to work with the board too. But I say first loved ones. Then you can start messing around and learn about your past lives and you know, other information you want to learn about. But I'd wait for that stuff. I wouldn't get into, jump into that right away. But so you get validation that way. You can look up information too. I had one spirit come through, and I write about this in my book, The Spirits of Ouija, my second book. Oh, I've got it right here, of course.
This book.
Yeah.
Good book.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. That book has gotten a great response, as you know. This is what happened. So one of my brothers, who's very good at using the board, was visiting, and I said, let's do the board. Every time he comes, gets together with me, we do the board. So we used the board, and his wife and their son was there. And we all of a sudden, somebody came through. We were getting party lines. Now, I have a lot of energies that want to come through right away when I get on, if it has to deal with other people in the room. For me, I go right to my guides. But other people in the room, if they bring their energies and their entities, and so we always moderate that. My bouncers, my guards, guidians, guards on the other side help regulate that. So we get one at a time. So this one person came through. His name is Hector. And he said, where am I? Where am I? Help me, help me. Where am I? And it was just really fast. Where am I? And then I said, well, if you want me to help you, he goes, I see a light. I go, okay, well then, okay. What, tell me about the light. Well, I found you. I found you at the light. And I said, okay, well, tell me, go ahead and tell me if you can see anything around you. He gave me an address. He gave me the full fledged address in the Spanish part of the address. There's a lot of things are in Spanish in California, like the street addresses are where people live. And this one was Avenida Requia or something. It's in the book. I wrote it down verbatim. My brother's little son sat there. He's not little. He's like a teenager, 16. Sat there and typed up the address. He goes, oh my God, it's real. It's real letter. I go, well, I would think it would be. He goes, we have to go see it. I said, okay, well, we'll go. We'll go check that out tomorrow. We finished our session. I said, Hector, I'm going to help you the best I can. I want you to hold tight. Let me see what I can find for you, where you are. And I'm going to come back and tell you. And then we're having this conversation again. He said, oh, okay. Thank you. We go to that address. We Google it. It is a funeral home. He goes, all I can see is an address. I can't see anything else. He saw the address. And on the far side of the building where you would think funeral home would be in the front, it was on the side, said funeral home. It was a funeral home that had been sitting there it's an old one. And I got back on the board later that day. It was the day after. And I said, I know where you are. He goes, I'm dead? I said, yeah, you are. I said, you are. Something happened to you. And he goes, oh. And also, it's really funny. Sometimes they're so shocked when they die. And it's to bless their heart, you know, that either for some reason they were shocked that it didn't know to go in the light. Doesn't mean they're bad. Doesn't mean they're demonic. Doesn't mean you treat them poorly. Doesn't mean they're evil. And I got to be real clear about this man was just lost. And I said, you know, we can help you. If you want to move on to your loved ones, because I do, I need help. So I pulled in my Mary Angel. Mary Angel is the one who comes through anytime I speak to people who are departed. She comes in a whole different energy. And she's been with me since it was like early 90s. She's been with me forever, but entered my life on the board and communicated. And so she came through immediately. He says, I see Mary. And I said, well, Mary's going to help you. And so we were able to help him go into light. Not because I think he should go into light, because he asked for help to be with his loved ones once he realized he was dead. And he was shot. He was shot with a gun is how he died. He knew, he remembered all that. All this came back to him. So it was like a Ouija therapy in a way. We were able to help him. But that was another validation, the address we received. Nowadays, when I do the board, I receive messages that are really prophetic, real profound, and they're really personal and pertinent to my life or people that are gathering with me to their lives or people that ask me to ask questions, such things that come through that help us grow in our life and develop ourselves. Or when we're working on a certain issue, it'll be real specific on how to maybe address that issue in a different way. And so those are starting to be called moon messages, and I'm putting them on the website now. And Patrick and I were talking about that earlier before we started the show. But that's another way I validate, because these messages are very specific and pertinent to people in the room. And what I'm sharing online are more the general message they brought in. And then it takes a whole session of 3 hours where they get real specific and precise with me or whoever's in the room. And so that's another way to validate. It's really specific to my life and what I'm working on or the question I asked. So there's different ways you can validate. And so that's just a few I listed for you. Hope that helps.
They're in stone and you can go back later and see those validations too. I think that's cool that you're keeping
absolutely track of that. Absolutely. Yeah. They'll tell me some things that are prophetic. I don't use the board for those reasons, but they will say some things that are going to happen. And I have those recorded. I can go back and look at them. You know, we did the prophecy show. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've got some things there working. So cool. You just never know, yeah. You know, but it's again, I would never trust that message is right in the very beginning. I wouldn't trust them for quite some time until you know the messenger or where the messages come from. And people go, well, how do you know that's your dead aunt Edna? Well, you're going to know because of the validation you receive and how you look into it. And you, as you use this tool, you start to have more intuitive faculties of empathic abilities, of feeling abilities. Clairsentience starts to develop more too. You start to sense things. And so does clairvoyance and clairaudience as you work with this.
Well, we have a very, very interesting question that actually reminds me of some experiments that I was involved in a year or two ago. Memory Jogger says, hi, Patrick and Karen. Easy question. I don't know if it's an easy question or not, but does distance have any effect on spirit communication? For example, USA to Australia, etc.
Good question, Memory Jogger. You know, we talked about this a little bit before. We're in a space-time continuum in our density that we call Earth, where we live now. It's a lower density. And as you move up into other realms of less dense matter, there is no matter or less density, you begin to find there is no time continuum. It's a space. There's space there, but there's no time continuum. So when they predict things or say things, it may not be what you think of as in 5 days or a year. It could be years. It could be what happened yesterday. Because our time is not the same time we have. So given that, since there is no time-space continuum, I've been able to contact people's higher selves, people's spirit guides, haunted places from being where I am in the comfort of my dining room table where I have my Ouija board, and I can still communicate with those spirits. In fact, I have communicated with some spirits, energies in Australia, one place, in England. I've done it in Mexico, all over the place, actually. It's quite fascinating. It's quite interesting. And when it first started happening to me, I was like, wow, this is weird. It's like when I first started talking to animals. I know it sounds weird, but when I first started talking to animals in 1994, I thought, what are you kidding me? So that is when I started pushing the boundaries of what and who and how and where you can speak to something. And that's when I learned that you could go into these dimensions, we'll just call them dimensions, and communicate with many different types of sentient beings, no matter where they're located. And in fact, I can dial up, bring, bring, bring on my board, dial up my guides, and there, wherever they are, they will be right there with me. And they could be thousands and thousands or billions of miles away. It's, again, it's working on a consciousness. We don't understand enough about our mind. We don't even understand enough about the brain. And our mind is not synonymous with the brain. The mind is more this energy of our awareness outside ourselves that steps into consciousness that goes way beyond what we even fathom or can even understand. And so I'm just really pushing boundaries of consciousness as I do this work to see where, who, how, all the different levels I can communicate with, and really have learned some really expansive, mind-blowing stuff by doing that. But yes, you're not limited by locale, but yes, you can communicate a whole half continent away or several continents away.
From my experience, I could say the same thing for like EVP research and experimenting too. You know, you could, people will say, you know, well, how are you doing EVP experience? Your house isn't that old. And I'm like, well, I'm not necessarily just communicating with, you know, a dead person right next to my recorder. You know, you can get them from everywhere is what I've always
said. Now that brings up a good point. That's an electromagnetic frequency. And see, this is how we work. This is how they operate. They say, they always talk about their frequency, which is the rate of vibration and my rate of vibration. They say what separates us is our frequency, where we all vibrate. Everything vibrates. Every single thing in the universe is vibrating. And so if it's electromagnetic frequency, it's the rate of that vibration allows you to pick it up no matter where it's located. It's really fascinating. We don't understand it enough. So it's really cool that you shared that aspect, mm-hmm. Patrick, because I'm not versed in EVPs as you are. And that's really your big thing that you do. That's your tool.
Let's see, Josh W. I think that name sounds familiar. Josh W. says, if you make contact with a negative entity on the board, How long should one wait before bringing the board back out and trying again?
I'm going to ask that question right back to you, Joshua. The answer is how long you think you need. I know people who write to me say, I'm just not feeling up to it. I say, you know what? Don't do it then. You really got to be feeling up to it. You know, our fears can get the best of us. And even though they get the best of us, our fears to ourselves in our world are very real. And I never discount somebody's fear. So trust that. That's your barometer to say, this is not going to work for me right now. But if you can get around that barometer in whatever that time period is, again, to the other dimensions, other sides, time doesn't mean anything to them. You could be 80 years old and pick up the board again. That same energy could still come through. It kind of answered that question earlier. You know, they're not local and they're not stuck by time, confined by time. So you really have to ask yourself that question. There is no hard press rule. For me, when I had that energy, and I was back then I was in college. So this is quite a few years ago. I was last year, just kidding. It was quite a few years ago. Oh, I can pretend. It was quite a few years ago, and I had this being come on that was just cussing and cussing and cussing. I thought, what a bore. Really, that's all you got? And I said, goodbye. And I put the board away. I think I put it away for a few days. That was for me. But I had no fear about it. And I didn't think it was negative, bad. Like it was negative behavior, but I didn't think it was like evil or devil or demonic. Or I didn't see that, so I didn't have the fear. I just trusted myself that it was time to put that away. And if it would have came up again, I would not allow it to talk to me. I would have put it away again. So just follow your intuition on this. There's no hard set rules. Ouija didn't come with a manual. I think this is like the manual, the best manual I could provide you from my experiences, but it doesn't tell us what to do. So the best thing to do is trust yourself, because again, it's you who's doing this work. Do some light energy work on yourself. If somebody knows Reiki around you, have them do Reiki. Best thing to do is, I like to go outside under the stars and just say, you know, hello moon, hello stars. I receive the energy of the universe. Wash through me. Allow me to feel better. Allow me to feel cleansed. Get in a rainstorm, you know, do a ceremonial shower, rinse it off. And it's what you believe in. And that's going to affect how it's going to work for you next time. So I wished I had a real answer. I could say, give it 72 hours and come back to the board. But I can't say that. Ask yourself and trust the answer you hear. Okay. Thanks for the question.
Yeah. Thanks, Josh W. And do we have time for maybe one more thing, Karen?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Bland, boring username, which is another username that looks familiar to me on Google+.
Oh, I know bland, boring user. Hi.
Really? Hi. Well, I wanted to tell bland, boring username, if you can type, I can edit this out of the podcast version, but if you can type quickly, they say they had a cool Ouija session yesterday, and they were hoping they could share it. So if you're not there and can't type it out, kind of fairly quickly, then you could always share it with Karen or email it to one of us, and it would be cool to kind of see.
Well, I'm glad to hear she had an incredible session. I know bland, boring name, and she took a break from the board. This is a good example.
Okay.
She trusted herself. She wasn't feeling quite up to it and took a break for a few weeks, if I'm correct. And then when she was ready, I said, you know, don't go until you're ready. And obviously she was ready. And what did she have? A great session. So this is an example, Josh W., that you just got to trust yourself. And that's exactly what she did. That's the number one thing using this tool is trust yourself first, not the board, not the planchette, and not the energies coming through. You, number one.
So maybe we'll give her a second if she's typing. And okay. Since we're kind of approaching the end, it's been months ago now, but you had the OuijaCon experience that you did. Do you have any other kind of upcoming events that you know is coming up?
OuijaCon was so fabulous. Uh-huh. And everybody came out. It was great meeting you. It was just, Patrick, you got to come to the next one. So when we have the next one, there's some rumors. I'm not going to say much because it's not for me to release just yet, but, I hope you can make it. There should be another one in the upcoming near future. Let's say about a year.
So
let's say about a year. Yeah. There's some projects I have in the back. I'm not gonna say too much about a few projects I'm kind of working on right now, but I am writing a couple of books, and it's about animal communication. And I'll get more into that as I start to approach it. Some really cool stuff has been happening, and we're documenting it, and I'm going to be sharing it here soon. I would say maybe within the year, I'll have these books out, at least a year and a half. A lot of stuff I'm doing now is really my writing and blogging on the website, doing a lot of the shows, and I'm really trying to help educate people that really want to use this tool and have a proclivity to use it. They feel calling towards it, and to let them know it's not all scary. And it's not all unicorns either, but it definitely is something in between. It's a neutral device. And if you can get yourself in a space of feeling connected to your source and your energy and grounded as well when you use this tool, you'll be met with just amazing unseen friends who really want nothing more but your best interests and to help you find that within yourself. I can't say it enough or speak enough, Patrick, but you know me from all the past interviews that this work has been just incredible to me and to my own personal growth. It's just amazing. So yeah, I want people to read the moon messages on the website, because you'll get an insight into some of these kind of profound messages we're starting to receive. Well, we've been receiving actually for years, but I'm starting to share more of those. So that's where my focus really is right now, really reaching out to people and through the website. So come visit
me. Your website is looking great, by the way. You just did some creative updates. And like I said, the moon messages are really cool to see. And so I look forward to seeing more of those.
Thank you. It means a lot. Thanks, Patrick.
So that's KarenADahlman.com. By the way, or you could also get to your site by what's the Creative Visions?
Yeah, Creative Visions Publications, which is my publishing house, creativevisionspublications.com. They both go to the same spot. You can find all my books there if you want autographed copies, or if it's more convenient, you're around the world and you want to go to amazon.com, you can go there and get everything on Kindle or paperback too as well.
Cool. And I'll put, if you're listening to the podcast version from the future, I'll have links to all of where you can find Karen in social media and her website and all that. Okay. So bland, boring username, it looks like, is typing furiously. And she said, I had my spirit guide tell me that I had many spirits around me and to make Sunday a day to communicate. That's interesting. Wow. My spirit guide is named Sarah, and she tells me that I am ready to communicate with other spirits.
Wow. Very, very cool. Yeah. So
I'm kind of jealous.
you know, Patrick would be jealous. That's great progress, and allows you, Sarah, in this case, to be your mistress of ceremonies. I always talk about how I use mine, and they want to do that for you. So they become the one that ushers them in one by one, and then they help you make sure you're working with the good energies at all times as well. You want that help on the other side. So that's great. Great breakthrough for you. Glad to hear it.
Very cool. I love this interaction that we were able to have tonight, live questions and things.
Oh, love it.
I'm glad you encouraged me to do this.
Push.
Yeah.
It was a little nudge.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. And so, you know, we'll see about maybe doing something like this in the future. And if you're listening, again, I'll tell you, this will eventually come out, hopefully, as a regular podcast episode. And now this video is going to be saved on the YouTube page, and I'll keep it on bigseance.com/live for a while so that you can watch it if you missed it. Not that you'd know about, I mean, it doesn't matter if you missed it because you're not hearing me right now. Whatever.
They might find you on a search. You never know.
Yeah, they could.
They will.
And Karen, you are lovely, and you are also looking very lovely with your nice backdrop that you have. Oh, and
my Ouija board back here.
Yeah.
Thank you, Patrick.
You completely rock. I thank you for encouraging me to do this and giving us your time. And I will never bore of having discussions with you.
Oh, and thank you.
People can check. There's so many episodes with Karen at bigseance.com. So you can check back and look at the other episodes, and also just follow her on social media because she's always doing a show somewhere, and you could come an Uber fan, kind of like I am, and listen to her everywhere she goes.
Well, thank you, Patrick. It's been a pleasure to be here again. I enjoy this forum, and thank you for doing this. I think you're going to be doing many more of these, and I wish you much success with it. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and thank you everyone who came and listened live and the questions.
It was great.
That's awesome. So I'm going to go ahead and stop the broadcast, and we can wave and say goodbye.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye, good night, guys.
For show notes, including links to anything we may have mentioned in this episode, visit BigSeance.com, now the home of both the blog and the podcast. Just click on the Big Seance Podcast logo or find it in the menu. You can also find and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. Do you have any comments or feedback? Please contact me at Patrick@BigSeance.com. You can call my feedback line at 7755-TELL-ME. That's 775-583-5563. You can also record audio feedback right from the site using the SpeakPipe link included in the show notes. I could decide to include your voice in a future show. Thank you so much for listening and reading. Unfortunately, it's time to blow the candles out, but we'll see you and light them again next time.